Yimran Chedek Aleph. In our Likut Yimran, it's page 116, left-hand column, about a third way down the page. We've had a few shiurim on this chapter on Likut Yimran so far. Rabbi Nizal spoke about the Klal Yisrael and the foundation of Klal Yisrael being 70 nefoshos of Beis Yaakov, corresponding to the 70 nations, Lahavdil of the Goyim, and that the 70 nefoshos of Beis Yaakov have their origin in the Shivim Ponim LaTorah. Rabbi Nizal spoke about the taiva, that's koilel, the ra of all 70 nations, and he spoke about the importance of Kriya Shema and how the first 12 words of Kriya Shema correspond to the 12 shvotim, which are the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. And then Rabbi Nizal spoke about the benefit of saying Shema and Boruch Shem Kavod Malchusoy, how that battles against bad thoughts. And then he spoke about a person who has a more severe problem where that person has to cry specifically when saying Kriya Shema. And then the last item we had was where Rabbi Nizal spoke about the fact that when a tzaddik is mechidushe Torah, besides giving those that listen to his divrei Torah, the words of Torah, he actually gives them new neshamos, new nefoshos, with the divrei Torah that he's giving them. And Rabbi Nizal said that you should know that it could go one of two ways. Depending on the keli that the person has, if the person has tikkun habris b'shleimus, then that person is assured of receiving the words of the divrei Torah, the tzaddik, and these new nefoshos or neshamos in a way that's beneficial to them. And if not, if a person doesn't have perfect tikkun habris, then it's very possible for the person to receive the words of the tzaddik and these neshamos in a way that brings harm to the person. And in the previous year, we spoke about what a person does, what about the 99% majority that don't have perfect tikkun habris, that by them, if they start off with a certain emunah, if they acknowledge their own shortcoming, they're aware of it, and they admit it to themselves, and therefore, they don't expect to understand everything that tzaddik says, that it's going to make sense to them. And if they hear the tzaddik saying something or telling them to do something that doesn't make perfect sense to them, they assume that the tzaddik's nuts or the Torah's nuts, but they assume that this is simply because of my shortcoming, that I don't understand it, and I expect not to understand quite a bit. And when I say understand, I don't mean that it's going to sound like French to them, but I mean not to understand, not to fully understand, where it makes sense to me, where I understand why the way to come close to Hashem is exactly this way that the tzaddik's telling me. So in a case like that, if a person believes that the shortcoming is from them, and they're willing in those instances where they won't understand properly, they're willing to put their brain aside completely and accept the brain of the tzaddik, allow the tzaddik to do their thinking for them in a sense, and they're willing to show real solid emunah in the tzaddik and in the Torah, those people, the tzaddik won't do them any harm. The divrei Torah, the tzaddik won't harm them, the Torah won't harm them, etc. And this is where we're up to. Now, in this next paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to clarify this a little bit and show an example of this from an outstanding incident in history. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vezehu klal godol." This is a very major rule in Yiddishkeit. Ki mi pielyoin loitetze ki im oyer poshut. From Hashem only comes forth a simple light. Simple in the sense that there's no such thing as good and bad in heaven. There's no such thing as two. When we talk about Hashem kaviyochol in his purest form, Hashem echod ushmo echod, and that's all there is to it. The fact that we earthlings see night and day, we see chesed and gvura, this, that, that's in our backyard, that's the way it looks. On our lo madrega, in the olam huasiya, it's made to appear that way. But kaviyochol, the ultimate Hashem, is only Echod. We say it, Hashem Echod. Hashem Echod means there's no night and day. There's no male and female. There's no such thing. It's all Achdus HaPoshut in its origin, in its uppermost place. So Rabbi Nizal says, this is Klal Godol, that from Mipi Elyoin, from Hashem, comes forth only Oyer Poshut. Ach Lefi Bechinas Keli, It's only according to the vessel, the keli, in which the oir of Hashem is being received, kach netztayer ho'or besoichoi. That's what determines what format the light takes. Kavyochel from Hashem only comes forth oir. The question is, what? There's a pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quotes in another Torah, Likutei Moran. There's a pasuk, Hashem yitein oimer hamevasrois tzavarov. Hashem gives forth oimer. Aleph mem reish. Oimer means words. What's oimer? The Zohar HaKadosh says oimer is oir mayim rokia. The kaviyochel, when we talk about shefa, when we talk about things originating from Hashem, Hashem only gives forth light. As the light moves down to lower levels towards earth, the light becomes mayim, and from mayim becomes rokia. Rokia is like a third level below mayim, below oir. So that kaviyochel from Hashem only comes forth oir. Depending on what type of keli that oir is going down into, that's what determines what format the oir takes. Whether it's oir with an aleph, or oir with an ayin, which means skin, or it means nail. The case of Adam Arishoin, where it says that in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, the posuk, which posuk am I talking about? That in his Sefer Torah, it said oir with an aleph, kosnois oir. That it said, Kaviyochel Hashem took kosnos oir vayalbishem. He took clothing of oir, ayin vav reish, and he dressed them in it. So ayin vav reish means that it was made either of leather or of nail, tziporin. And that was a curse as a result of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. Originally, the clothing was supposed to be oir with an aleph. Because of the fact that they chose this Eitz Hadas, this tree of death, instead of the Eitz HaChaim, the difference between oir with an aleph and oir with an ayin is chayim, bigematria chayim. The word chayim is 68, which is the difference, chayim with the koilel, is the difference between oir with an aleph and oir with an ayin. So again, from Hashem came forth oir with an aleph. Because they were a poigim, it resulted, when it came down to them, it resulted in oir with an ayin. And in fact, you'll note that the Hebrew word for blindness, a blind person, is an iver, ayin vav resh, those letters. It could be either oir with an aleph, or iver with an ayin, depending on the person, depending on the kli hamekabel. Im ha-kli u-bishleimus, if the person's kli is sholem, it's pure, it's the way it's supposed to be, azai hu-mekabel b'chinas ma'oirois mole, then that person receives from Hashem ma'oirois, full, meaning with oir, filled with light. There's a pasuk, yihi ma'oirois b'rekia ha-shamayim, let there be lanterns in heaven, referring to the sun and the moon. Now that pasuk in the Sefer Torah is written mem aleph reish tov. That could be read either ma'oirois, which means lanterns, light. And Rabbeinu Zal says, ve'im chas v'sholem ha'kli einoi b'shleimus, if the kli is pogum, it's not b'shleimus, azai hu mekabel b'chinas ma'oras choser vov. Then the person receives ma'oras. What is ma'ora in Hebrew? A klala, a curse. K'may shekos, so as the pasuk says, ma'oras Hashem bebeis rosho. In the house of the Rasha, it becomes Ma'oras Hashem. Note, by Hashem it doesn't start out as Ma'oras. By Hashem it starts out as Oyer, as Kedusha. The base Rasha, when Hashem's Oyer goes into a base Rasha, there it can take the format of Ma'oras, Choser Vov. The Vov is taken out of it and it becomes a Klolo. V'zehu tzadikim yelchu bom. This is what the Torah means when it says tzadikim go in the path of Torah successfully. Ki oir haposhut habo mele'el, because the simple pure light that comes from above, hu bechinas komatz v'sosim. The Zohar HaKadosh says it's something that's closed and hidden. Komatz means in Aramaic closed. This refers to the light of keser, the crown of Hashem, which the Zohar HaKadosh says corresponds to the vowel in the Hebrew alphabet, komatz, because komatz means closed. That light is hidden, it's closed. So the light in its purest form is this komatz. Ach lefi bechinas kakli hamekablim, but according to the type of keli that's receiving this light of Hashem, hu bechinas tzeirei. There, the light takes on the form of tzeirei. Tzere means Vayitzer Elokim es Adam. The pasuk says Hashem created man. The word Vayitzer, the Arizal says, is Miloshin Tzere, that there the light took on a form, a guf, a body that rots, it smells, it gets dirty, it turns to dust afterwards. That's this Vayitzer Elokim es Adam. Tzere means Litzayer, for something to take form. It's not just plain oyer in a unrestricted oyer, but now it's taking on a format, a tzimtzum. Shenitztayer ha'oyer lefi b'chinas ha'kli. The oyer takes on the format of the kli that it's put in, just like water. For example, in other words, water is less ruchni than oyer. And by water, we know, the water takes the shape of whatever vessel you put it into. It could be round, could be square, could be thin, depending on what kind of glass or keli you put it into. Especially oyer takes the format of the keli that it's going into. V'alkein ksiv bebilam. Now Rabbi Nezal reveals a very deep secret in the Torah. This is why the pasuk says about Bilam Harosha, when Balak took the greatest of all goyim alive at that time, the most impure, most knowledgeable, closest person to Hashem, in the black side, in the darkness side, at that time was Bilam Harosha. The Gemara says he was the antidote to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was equal opposite force to Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Bilam was supposed to curse the Jews, you could imagine he prepared himself well, he went to his mikveh, he made all of his hachonas that he needed to try to get maximum strength against the Jews. However, the pasuk says that Bilam said to Balak, after having made three attempts to curse the Jews and batting zero, striking out each time, Bilam said to Balak, Hine borech lokachti, uberech v'lo yashivenu. Rabbein Azal says, Hine borech lokachti bekomatz, a komatz under the bays. Uberech v'lo yashivenu betzere. What does this mean? Ki afilu halikicha shehi oz bechinas komitz v'sosim. What Bilam was saying was that usually, when a person goes to take light from Hashem, usually at that point, the light is not yet structured at all, it's not formatted at all, it's komatz, it's keser, it's shapeable, you can convert it any way you want, supposedly, when it's in that format, it's oyer poshut. He bebechinas beirech. However, normally, velekicha was supposed to be komatz v'sosin, in my case, it was beirech. Kaviochel Hashem beat me to the punch, in a sense. It was already formatted where I couldn't tamper with it. I couldn't change it according to my keli. Raya lazeh, proof to this is, ki hu hayaroitze litztayer lefi b'chinas hakli sheloi. Bilam wanted to take Hashem's light, Hashem's energy, and be constructed according to his tomei keli. Shehi b'chinas klola. He is a curse. He's one big curse. However, Hashem did not allow him to change and to modify and to format the light in any way. I took it in its source while it was borech, while it was kometz. But I saw that even while I was taking it, uberech, Hashem had already made tzere out of it, v'lo yashivenu, and lo hayiti yachol lahashiv al zeh. I couldn't change it. Lahashiv means to modify also. I couldn't change it. I couldn't alter it in any way. Why? U'mipnei shehoya b'shas lekicha hu b'chinas beirech. Since at the time of lekicha, Hashem already made it beirech. Hashem had formatted it already. U'mipnei ma? The question is why? Where's fairness? Where's justice? Hashem doesn't play dirty. There's got to be Bechir in the world. There's got to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. There's got to be a Bilam. So what do you mean that Hashem just took the light and formatted? What zuchus did the Am Yisrael have to beat Bilam to the punch that he wasn't given permission to format it? The answer is, u'mipnei ma, why? Lefi sheheid aleihem hakosuv, because in that parsha, in Parsha's Balak, the Torah testifies about Bnei Yisrael, She Yisrael Nikru Shiftei Ko, that the Jews are called the heavenly Shvotim. Kama Shepir Shuzal, as the Gemara darshins, Al Hachanoichi, it's in that Parsha, that's the only Parsha in the Chumash where we find the Shvotim referred to not as Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or Chanoich Falu, it's called Mishpachat Hachanoichi, Mishpachat Hayimni, Mishpachat Hayishvi. And the Gemara says, Kama Shipirishu Zal al Hachanoichi, Shmi Meid Aleim. Hashem says, I put my name on the Jews as testimony. Shem Yudke. The name of Hashem, the Yudke, the Hey in front of the word, and the Yud in back of the word, was Hashem putting his seal of Kiddusha on the Jews. Shehu Bechinas Moichin. And which name of Hashem specifically? The name Yud K, which represents Chochma and Bina. We said earlier that when there's Tikkun HaBris, the Moichin are Bishleimus. When there's Pigam HaBris, the Moichin are messed up. Hashem signed the Jews' names in that Parsha, and on every signature he added Yud K to show that their Moichin were Bishleimus. K'may Shekosuv B'Gemara, as the Gemara says on this Parsha, Sheho Akum Hoyo Imrim, the Goyim was saying, Im Begufam Hoyo Moishlim, then certainly B'Nishoiseyem, that if the Egyptians were able to subjugate Bnei Israel to make them be slaves, then certainly they were able to take control over the wives of the Jews, and they must have messed the Jews up real badly. But the Gemara says that baloney, that it says that there was one woman, Shloimis Bazdivri, and the Torah says she was a bad woman. And the Gemara says from here we learn out that she was the exception to the rule. There was only one woman of all the women of the Jews in Mitzrayim, there was only one that went sour, that got spoiled. All the rest retained their purity. And because they retained their purity, Bilam couldn't do any harm. It wasn't possible. Because where there's Tikkun HaBris, when a person has Tikkun HaBris, then the oyer is already formatted from above. Even if a Russia wants to step in and tamper with it, he's blocked. It's password protected. Nothing you can do to alter it in any way. Period. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Lefichoch heyid hakosav aleim. Therefore the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, when it names the Jews Badafka over there, it testifies about them. That what? That they were pure in this respect. And that explains why Bilam couldn't alter the oyer at that point. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'zeh shekosuv, this is where the Pasuk says, in a different parsha in Chumash, Re'ei onoichi noisein lifneichem hayoim brocha uklala. Hashem says, observe, I am placing before you a blessing and a curse. Rabbi Nizal says, lifneichem daika. It's when it's before you that it could either take the form of a blessing or a curse. Ki lemalo hu bebechinas komatz. The light by Hashem, the oyer by Hashem, is komatz v'sosim. It's oyer poshut. It's kulay toiv. It's only good. Avol lifneichem lemato. But when it reaches down to the Am Yisrael below here on earth, nitztayer ho'oyer lefi bechinas hakeli. Then the light takes the form of whatever keli we have prepared for it. And that's why when Bilam saw that he struck out, that he was batting zero, what did he do? He said to Balak, there's only one way now I see to beat the Jews, to be able to curse them, and that's we have to upset their Tikkun HaBris. Because I see that it's because they came out of Mitzrayim successful in Tikkun HaBris, therefore all the dancing and the singing and the mizbeachs and everything isn't working. It's not changing the oyer. I can't curse them. But if we can get them to fail a test in Tikkun HaBris, then it's all over for them. Then I won't even have to curse them. That the light of Hashem that'll come down, when it hits them, it'll hit in the form of lightning. It'll be destruction. Kedei lekalkel kleihem. Because Bilam wanted to be mekalkel, the kelim of the Jews, that way they would be able, the Ma'oras Hashem beveis Russia. If the Jewish home would be a base Russia, in a base Russia, the curse of Hashem Chas Hashem could reach. Now Rabbi Nizal adds on a little curveball, a little bomb here. V'zeh shekosvu chachmei horefuois. And this is why the doctors say, shehasirus refuah l'meshuga. That if a person is mentally ill, Chas V'Shalom, if a person suffers from certain types of insanity, the cure for it is sterilization. V'zehu siluka d'yisoido ad abo v'ima. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh says that the effects of the sphere of Yisoid, which stands for Tikkun HaBris, reaches up to abo and ima, which is Chochma and Bina. meaning Hainu Bechinas Shmi Meid Aleihem. This is the Yud Kei that Hashem put on the names of the Jews when they were Shomer HaBris. And if a person is not Shomer HaBris, then that person can be positive that their moichin are pigumim, that their brain is messed up, period. And if that person thinks that it's not messed up, then it's even more messed up. Because it's one thing to have a messed up brain. That's a problem, but it's workable if you know your brain is messed up. So you simply don't use your brain, you use somebody else's brain. When a situation comes up and you interpret it a certain way, you keep your mouth closed and your brain closed, and you don't say anything based on how you perceive it. You look for a normal person, a tzaddik, who has tikkun habris. You see his interpretation, his explanation, you run with that, and everything's okay. But if a person has this problem, that number one, in Tikkun HaBris, they're not perfect. So Rabbeinu Zalt says that the Torah testifies their brain is imperfect. And they want to make believe that they don't have the problem. They want to act as if they are the Tikkun HaBris. They want to act as if, what do you mean I can't analyze it for myself? What do you mean I can't think for myself? What do you mean I don't understand? What do you mean he says it's this way? He says it's this way. I say he doesn't understand my situation, or he doesn't understand me. And a person gives all kinds of excuses to think why the tzaddik can't give them advice, or why the tzaddik can't interpret, can't explain their situation, when they don't know that it's literally upside down. It's just the opposite. And this is something that takes tremendous awareness and honesty and realization and consistency. For a person, sometimes a person can hold on to this for a few minutes, and then the next day the sultan plays games with them again, and the person's not ready to admit to themselves again, and to stay within that track that I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And until I see that I am really tzaddik, until I see that I pass a few hundred tests, real tests, and until I, or better yet, until I see that a tzaddik tells me that I am really tzaddik, that I am qualified to think for myself, there's no way in the world that I'm going to accept that authorization when I know that it's not really true. When I know what goes on behind closed doors, and I know what goes on, what people don't see. The pasuk says, Hashem ki ha'odom yira le'inayim, v'Hashem yira la'levov. That people see what the eye allows them to see, only on the surface. But Hashem sees into the hearts of people, meaning He sees what you normally don't see. He sees what goes on when people aren't looking, etc., and knows exactly where each person is holding, where they're not holding. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh bakoroiv olay mareim, lechol es psori, tzorei voivai li, heima koshlu v'nafolu. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that Rabbeinu Zal is going to tie into this whole chapter on Likutei Moran. The word mareim could mean enemies, and could also mean reim. The word reim itself means friends. Reim ahuvim. So in the Zohar HaKadosh, there's a pasuk that says, Ichlu reim ushisu doidim. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this refers to the two sections of the name of Hashem. Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, there's Yud-Kei, the letters Yud and Kei, which are called reim. And the Zohar HaKadosh says they are called Train Reyin Deloy Misparshin. They are two close friends that are inseparable. Meaning, there's no Avera that a Jew can do here on earth that could cause a Pirud Kavyochel in heaven between Yud and Kei. They represent so high a level of Kedusha that our actions can't affect them to a degree. Whereas the lower letters of Hashem's name, Vav-Kei, represent a lower level of Kiddusha in a sense, where they are affected by our deeds. If we do mitzvos, if we do tshuva is called Toshuv Hei. You return the Hei. When a Jew did an Avera, the Vav and Hei become separated. When a Jew does a mitzvah, Toshuv Hei. You return the Hei next to the Vav again. And other proofs to that. So these two Yud and Kei of Hashem's name are called Reim, Train Reim Deloy Misparshin. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu Hamoichin. This refers to the Moichin. Va'achilosom, and their nourishment. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ichlu Reim, that these Reim, this Yud Kei, these Moichin, need nourishment, they need strengthening. Hainu Hischaskusom. What gives the Moichin strength? Hu b'sar kodesh, It's the Bris Kodesh. It's the holy, the part of the body in a Jew where the whole holiness of a Jew is dependent on that. Hainu lechoil es besori. Bakorov olai mareim lechoil, when I want to give achila, when I want to give nourishment and strength to the reim, to the yud kei, to my moichin, to the brain, I do it by es besori, the bsar kodesh. Shehu bechinas siluka di yisoida. This implies the elevation of yisoid. When the yisoid, the tikkun abris, is elevated, it reaches up and nourishes the chokhmah and bina. Hainu tikunoi magia ad hamoichin. Tikkun abris is something that's so special and so significant, it reaches up and feeds the moichin. Sheheim abo ve'imo, which are represented by chokhmah and bina. Vehu tikkun hakloli, and this represents the tikkun that's koleil all tikkunim. It's one-stop shopping. It's one item that's koleil everything, everything. The word bris, beis reish yud tof, is bigimatria 613 with the koleil. Tof reish yud beis is 612. With the koleil, the word itself counts as one, 613, to show this item is koleil everything. She'al yodoi tzorai voi vaili heima koshlu v'nafolu. When a person is zoichet to this, that their mereim are being nechal, are being nourished, through the b'sori, through the b'sar kodesh, then all their enemies will stumble and fall. Sheheim b'chinas ayin l'shoinois. Who are all the enemies? Tzorai voivaili. That refers to the 70 nations, all the enemies of the Jews. U'kishishaber ha-taiva hazois. When a Jew is zeichet to be successful in breaking this taiva, memela noiflim kol ha-taiva isorois. Then automatically, you have the old domino theory. This one's in front of the line. When this one falls, everything else tumbles down automatically. And this is why it's written that when Rabbeinu Zal was a boy, this is what he went to work at. This is what he went to fight, to battle with all his strength. And he said he felt that the Satan was prepared to offer him a deal. You can have everything else. I'll let you be outstanding, special, in every other area in Yiddishkeit, every other taiva, taiva sachila, learning, davening, everything, except this. Just be light on this. Don't be so religious in this area. And Rabbeinu Zal said from the deal that the Satan was offering, he understood that it was the exact opposite that Hashem was looking for. That in every other area, I'm willing to compromise. 65 will be good enough for me. Except this. This 99 is going to be unacceptable to me in Tikkun HaBris. And Rabbeinu Zal went all out and he exerted all, he put all of his strength into this. And he said that while he was doing that, he ate big. He ate more, a lot. It says, he used to eat a lot. In other words, he wanted to really concentrate and focus all the strength of his brain and every part of his body to do battle against the Yetzer Hara in this item. So he wasn't diversified at that time. All other areas, taiva sachila, this, that, he let go until he felt that he conquered this completely. Once he finished, he slaughtered the Yetzer Hara in this area once and for all, completely, as David HaMelech said about himself, V'libi cholol bekirbi, that inside my heart there's a corpse. Who's the corpse? The Yetzer Hara. He's dead and buried, finished with, to a large degree. Once Rabbeinu Zal finished with that, he said then he went to deal with the other ones, and the other ones fell into line pretty quickly, because that's the deal. To one who knows, they know that this is 99% of the avoda. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha al Arayin. The main mission of the Yetzer Hara in this world is to get a Jew to fail in this area of Arayis. If he gets him to fail in this, everything else is secondary. Everything else is easy. We once mentioned that this Malach's name, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, is Bigimatria Nun Aleph Pei. That word Niuf. The shurish of the word niyuf, to show that this is his main objective. And therefore, anyone who wants to be religious, and especially anybody who wants to be mekusher to Rabbeinu Zal, has to know that this is the area where a person has to be exceptional. If there's any area in Frumkeit that there's no compromises, that there's extremism, it's in this area. The question is, can you explain to a person logically, with logic and reason, why not to fall victim to this avera, why not to do it? The answer is to a maybe 50% or maybe 20%, yes. Rabbi Nazal says in Shulchan Aruch, he writes that if a person studies biology, and if they see the human anatomy and look at it closely, a person would get disgusted by this taiva. What? It looks so pretty, it looks so beautiful, it looks disgusting. You want to vomit. There are people who look at, you know, these anatomy books, and they can't look at it for more than 3 seconds without choking, period. Elamai, the sultan puts a thin, thin sugar coating on it, and the person gets fooled. So Rabbi Nazal says that even there is a certain degree of logic that comes into play here, of just having some brains and understanding that this isn't more than it really is. In other words, Rachmona Letzlan, the problem is that the Yetzer Hara has, in other words, 99% of this is fantasy, 1% is real. Hashem gave us a mitzvah in the Torah of having children, certain items. The writers, the authors, Yemach Shemom V'Zichrom, and the movie producers, Yemach Shemom V'Zichrom, those who are pogum, those who are the agents of the Satan, to try to present an image to mankind as if this is the ultimate high in life, and this is the ultimate pleasure, and etc., etc., it's 99% baloney. It's 99% fantasy, period. And the Satan is given the ability sometimes to put a person in this fantasy island for 15 minutes or for a few seconds sometimes. And then the thing peters out. It's nothing. It turns to nothingness. Rabbi Nazal says, to some degree, if a person is going to be normal and is going to be rational and be sensible, they'll be able to see through some of this. There's no question at all that the fact that you're going up against a malach means that you need tefillah. You need, a malach doesn't play with rationale only. He plays with shaloi al pi derech hatev also. He plays with things that are above human level. So you got to do battle with him with tefillah, with things that are above derech hatev. Imagine the Gemara tells us, to, notice, to show how real this is, the Gemara tells the story of a Tana in the Gemara. Rav Amram Chasida is his name. This Rav Amram, the Gemara says, was one of the rabbis of the Gemara, and he was so trusted that one time when there were a group of Jewish women that were taken captive, and they were freed by the Goyim, and they had to spend a night in a place before they returned home, they took them to the home of Rav Amram Chasida. So the Gemara says, there was two floors in his house, no staircase, a ladder to go up. And the ladder, the Gemara says, was so heavy that it took 10 people, that 10 people couldn't carry the ladder, the Gemara says. It was made of steel, not this aluminum baloney. It was steel or lead or brick, whatever it is, that normally it took 10 people to move this ladder. When Rav Amram had them go upstairs to the second floor, then they had the ladder removed, put it down, and Rav Amram went to sleep on the first floor, then on the second floor and finished. The Gemara says, in the middle of the night, something happened that one of them was changing, and he saw something, right? There was a light shone where it became visible, and the Gemara says, this malach, again, this satan, imagine, he went into Rav Amram Chasida and gave him an adrenaline, the Gemara says, where he took the ladder by himself, not television movies, this is Gemara, this is for real. He took the ladder, picked it up, put it over there, started running up the ladder. The Gemara says he was Rav Amram Chasida. So in middle, he caught himself and he realized what was happening. So he started yelling, Nura Be'Amram, Nura Be'Amram, fire in the house of Amram. And there were other Talmidim of his sleeping in the house or nearby houses. They heard him screaming fire. Middle of the night, everybody woke up and came running. When they saw what had happened, they said, Rebbe, you embarrassed yourself publicly and you embarrassed us. You know what this is? Everybody finds out that. He said, better I should be embarrassed in this world than chas v'shalom I should have to be embarrassed in the next world. This is the Gemara. This is not the comic books. This isn't paperback. This is the real world. The Gemara is saying what this malach can do to a person, and for a person to know to beware, and for a person to know to take all the steps and precautions that are needed, that rak l'shetef mayim rabim elov lo yagiu, that when his turn comes, nobody knows. Just the fact that the sultan stays away for a person for 5 years is baloney. This malach is smart enough to wait till a person's guard is down, to wait till a person thinks they've won already, they think the battles are over, and then the right timing, the right setting, chas v'shalom, rachmon l'tzlom, it could be done. That Hashem doesn't give a person a test that they can't pass? Yes, assuming that they took all the precautions that they were supposed to. Would you call this a test that you can pass? If suddenly you have the strength of 10 people, suddenly in 1 second, abracadabra, bionic man, he can pick up a ladder that 10 people can't pick up? That's normal? That's fair? The answer is, to a degree, yes. On one hand, it was possible for him to pass it. Proof is he did. How close did he come to the edge? He came that close. And if he came that close, try to imagine what chance we stand unless a person is zoicha to be attached, super, super attached to the Tzadik Emes and super tefillah and super Torah. And with all of that, hope and pray, there's one shot in a billion of succeeding. There's one shot in a billion of being zoicha to come out of this world successful in this area. Now Rav Nosson Zal writes, Zois HaTorah Hi Loshon Rabbeinu Zal. This chapter on Likutei Moran was verbatim Rabbeinu Zal's notes. He copied Rabbeinu Zal's notes from which he gave the shir. Which means that as we explained sometimes before, there are certain shiurim in Likutei Moran where it's Rav Nosson Zal's words. He heard a shir from Rabbeinu Zal, he wrote it over in his own words. Rabbeinu Zal checked it over and made corrections, everything. But it's Rav Nosson Zal's style, which is usually more elaborate, easier sometimes for people on our level to understand, follow, because he puts in more words, etc. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal's Loshon is like Mishnayis, you know, much tighter wording, much more careful. V'omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shehi soid kavonas kiddush. That this shir on Likutei Moran explains the Arizal's words on the topic of making Kiddush Friday night, Kiddush Shabbos morning. The Arizal speaks about certain secrets of Kabbalah that are tied into Kiddush. This chapter on Likutei Moran is related to that. V'yizbayar b'mokim achar mitz Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal says, I'm going to explain somewhere else what the connection here is. Oit motzosi miksav yad koide shel Admor Zal minen atora zois b'shinoi loshen k'tzas. Rav Nosson Zal says, I found another set of notes of Rabbeinu Zal's on this chapter on Likutei Moran, which is worded a little bit differently than this. V'hanayor hoyo koruyo chetzioi. And the paper was torn. Part of it, half of it, was missing. U'mashenimtzo kosuv al anishar hetakti. However, the half that I found, I copied over, and that's what I'm presenting here. Tzofnas Paneach, de Megalian. Tzofnas Paneach is the name that was given to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, when he passed the test with Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, and he came to Paroi, Paroi said, I have a new name for you. Tzofnas Paneach. Tzofun means hidden, secrets. Paneach means revealed. You are the one who has the ability to reveal secrets. Meaning, you have this wisdom, this chochma and bina. Paroi said about him, Ein chochom, ein novoin v'chochom kamoicha. That once I saw you were able to interpret the dream, I see that there's nobody as smart as you. Meaning that what's hidden to others is revealed to you. Why? Because of his tikkun abris, his moichin wa b'shleimus. He was able to know even the komets v'sosim. He was able to even get to that. Shivim ponim, Torah, soid acher, kemoishikosuv, v'soid acher al togel. A certain other type of secret you're not allowed to reveal. That the tzaddik, the one who has tikkun abris, is zoicha to this soid acher even. Kemuva bezoyar betikunim, tikkun lamedalid, nun zayin, samachtes. These chapters in the Tikkuni Zohar where it talks about this. Kishemafsik hanekuda mehadalid shel echod. That when a person separates the nekuda, the part of a dalid, in the structure of a dalid, it's shaped like a resh with a tiny piece sticking out to the right. That's called the nekuda. That nekuda is called the nekuda of tzaddik. The bris kodesh, just like the bris is, in a sense, a small item, that it's represented by this oisyud, or the koitzoi, the ois dalid, as it's called, that makes the difference between the word echod, Hashem echod, versus Kel Acher, which is the name of Avodah Zorah, Acher and Echod. V'hanekudo hi ois bris. That little piece over there represents the Tikkun HaBris. Azai nase acher. When that's missing, chas v'shalom, it from echod becomes acher. Hainu kishemachnis brisoy bezoino hanikras malchus harisho. When a person is poigame in bris, which is called and he's poigame in isha acheres, in that's called malchus harisho hanikro kel acher. But a person who maintains a loyalty to his own, and he's zochet to purify himself in this taiva, azai hu niskasher b'malchus shamayim, then he attaches himself to Hashem Echod, malchus shamayim, hanikro ani, which is called ani. K'moy shekosuv, kedoshim tiyu ki kodosh oni. Hashem says the Jews should be holy, because I am holy. Hashem's name of holiness is Aleph Nun Yud, Ani. U'bechol mokim shatamayt segeder ervo timse kidusha. And wherever you find a restriction, wherever you find a person restricting themselves in erva, that's where you find kidusha, holiness. Avol man de gali arayon. However, the Zohar HaKadosh says, a person who's poigim in bris, he's megal arayos, hochi ihu isgali bein inon arayon. That person becomes revealed, that person finds themselves among those arayos, the inon elokim acherim, which are called another name for arayos is elokim acherim, idols. The Zohar HaKadosh says that one time Reb Shimon Yochanan was walking with his talmidim, and they saw a group of women in front of them. So Reb Shimon Yochanan said, "Let's go quickly to get ahead of them, because the Torah says, and be careful not to look, because the pasuk says, al tifnu el ho'elilim, don't turn to the idols." This doesn't mean chas v'shalom, that a woman is something bad. It means that for a man to look is bad. That's what it means. What a man is not supposed to do, that's the crime. That act is called turning to idols, chas v'shalom. U'bishvil ze muva, unless chas v'shalom, a woman presents herself in an unkosher way, a woman dresses immodestly, or a woman dresses in a way to tempt somebody, chas v'shalom, that kind of thing, that's when chas v'shalom takes on this form of elilim. That's when a person gets this nickname. U'bishvil ze muva bezoyar kadchazi Rabbi Shimon nashi shapirin. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Rabbi Shimon Yochanan saw beautiful women, Omar, he said to his talmidim, al tifnu el elilim, do not turn to the idols. Ki niuf hi arayos elikim acherim malchus harishoa. Because this item of niuf, arayos, is synonymous with idols, malchus harishoa. Note, the Gemara says that when the Jews made the Egel HaZohov, that wasn't an ends, that was a means. The Gemara says the only reason why they got involved in idol worship was to use that as a stepping stone, lahatir lohem arayos. The Gemara says that in those days, idol worship and arayos, there was a combination of the two. People think that in those days they were cavemen. They made this thing of wood or silver and gold, and everybody bowed and said woo woo and everything. That was Avodah Zarah. People don't know that people in those days were a billion times more intelligent and deep than us. And the fact that it was possible to worship idols, there was a soid in that. There was a secret power in that. And one of the things that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us is that it was ma'urav with Gilui Arayis. The kesher, the taiva for Avodah Zarah was connected and plugged into this issue of Gilui Arayis. It was done together. Rabbein Azal says, u'bishvil zeh sgula levate el hirhurei niuf. This is why we say that if a person is suffering from these types of hirhurim, the tikkun is Emuna. The tikkun is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Likroi Shema Yisrael uBaruch Shem Kvoid. Kemuva al posuk vayakrev el echov hamidyonis. That Zimri ben Soli took this midyonis and brought it to his in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of the Am Yisrael, and it says vehema boichem pesach oel moed. And the Targum Yonason says bachyon v'korin kriyashma, as we learned earlier, that the Jews were crying and saying kriyashma at the time. Why? Because they saw this fantastic test. They saw that the Yetzirah was going all out to wipe them out, where he even took a Nasi, one of the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael at that time, a leader of a Shevet, and got him to fall so far that he wasn't ashamed to do this publicly in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw that they were in tremendous sakon at the time, so it says they were crying, and the Targum sticks in a little extra word, crying and saying kriyashma. And unless a person knows this Torah Likutei Moran, Kriyashma, what were they, getting ready for bedtime stories? What's the Kriya Shema? Rabbeinu Zal explains here the connection between that the Kriya Shema was going to be their weapon to be saved from this tithe at that time. Daf Aleph. Rabbeinu Zal says this was page one of Rabbeinu Zal's notes on this shir. Nimtza she'ikara hanisoyoin v'atziruv shemenasin lo'odom ein menasin lo'y elo b'niyuf. The main test that they test a Jew in life is regarding this item. Shehi klula me'ayin umois. This is koilel the ra of all 70 nations. Shehi klula misoid acher, kel acher. There's this soid acher, a deep secret that's involved in this, whereby this is connected to the concept of kel acher. We know that the words kel acher are bigimatria amolek, and we know that the whole concept of amolek is pegama bris. The Zohar HaKadosh says that amolek was choytech milois v'zorkon lamalo. That was one of the things he did. And it says about Amalek, Asher korcho baderech, miloshin mikre, rachmono litzlan. That sin, mikre lot, that was the battle of Amalek, which was shown to get the Jews to be nichshal in this item. Ukeshetzoyek lelokim, and when a Jew screams out, cries out Hashem, kamo shekosuv, Kain nafshi taro geilecho, my nefesh cries out to Hashem, v'tzoyek ayin kolin loypochois, and the person screams 70 screams, no less than 70 screams, azay niftochin loy soidois hatoira. Then that person, who zeichet through this tsa'oko, to this tikkun abris, we spoke about this in the beginning of the Torah, then they're zeichet to have revealed to them secrets of Torah. Dematmarin megalinlei. That which is hidden, they reveal to that person. Just like Yosef HaTzadik. He passed the test with Potiphar's wife. It was shown that where all the other magicians, where all the other geniuses couldn't figure out the secret of Paro's dream, he could. Umoilid nafshin chadatin, and that person is zeicha to create new nefoshos. Ki moilid toiro, he creates toiro. V'hatoiro he klula min nafshis Yisrael. The toiro, the shivim ponim toiro, is kolul from the shivim nefoshos of Bnei Yisrael. Umegale ponim shel toiro, and this person is zeicha to reveal the faces, the different interpretations of the toiro. Ki ad achshav hoiso stuma beklipin. Because until the person was zeichet to this tikkun abris, to these 70 screams, until then the Torah was covered up with a klipa, with a shell, whereby he couldn't look inside to see its oir, its pnimius. Ki a klipa kodmo lepri, because there always has to be a shell surrounding the fruit. V'yochel hatzadik lohirish b'teirosoi shemechadesh nishmosin chadetin l'chol echod mi'anshe mekurovov ha'mekushorim b'teirosoi. The tzaddik has the ability to give over to those, when he's mechadesh Torah, to give each one of his people who is mekusher to his Torah, to actually give them new nefoshos, brand new nefoshos, brand new neshamos. Kemuva bahazemer, as is brought in the Zmirois that we say on Shabbos, lemevad nishmosin chadetin, betarteinu vitlosin shivshin. That with the 32 paths, tarteinu tlosin is 32, which is the Torah, which begins with a beis and ends with a lamed, that causes lemevad nishmosin chadetin. It creates new neshamois. Hainu bahatoira hamascheles bebeis umasayemes belamed. Ubitloso shivshin, and the Torah is called three channels. Hainu oiraisot liso. This is what the Gemara says, that the Torah is Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. It was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third child, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. It was given in the third month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, etc. Who ovid nishmosin varuchin chadatin. The tzaddik, when he gives over his chidushei Torah to his mekuravim, he creates new neshamos, new ruchos. It's interesting, there's a pasuk, kiner mitzvah, v'toira oir. The Torah is called oir or ner. There's a pasuk, ner elikim nishma sodom. Ner is nefesh ruach. Nefesh ruach elikim nishma sodom. That all of this goes together. This candle and this light that the Torah is compared to, this candle and light also represents the nefesh ruach neshama. They also represent this oir that's inside the person. And the shemen, just like when you had the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, she had light burning, and the light had to be fed with shemen, oil. That's the tikkun abris of a person. To the degree that a person wastes the shamnunis, the fluids of the body. He's not careful to restrict himself and limit himself to the degree that he's supposed to. To that degree, he takes away from that oyer, the fire. The more he takes away, the less meichen, the less seichel, the less that candle, that ner doylek, which represents the brain of a Jew, doesn't burn, plain and simple. It's got to have a certain quantity of oil. If the oil is directed elsewhere or it's wasted, then the brain doesn't have the nourishment that it needs, and the candle is either extinguished, or it flickers, or it does, it shows weakness. The Torah, if a person is zoche, it's a medicine of life to him. And if he's not zoche, chas v'shalom, it's the opposite. The Torah is compared to sam. Tzadikim go successfully in it and Rishoim fail in it, chas v'shalom. L'chol echod v'echod kefi shemekabel. Each and every person according to his keli, according to the way he's receiving it. Avol meitoi loiteitse horois. But from Hashem, there does not go forth anything bad. When it's coming out of Hashem, it's only good. K'may shekosev, as the pasuk says, in Echo mi pi elyoin loiteitse horois. From heaven, there's no such thing as ra coming out. From heaven comes forth tzadik heiresh, tzoihar, light. If a person on earth isn't zoche, the letters rearrange themselves to make tzorah. From heaven comes forth oineg, ayin nun gimel. If a person's not zoche, their keli rearranges the letters to make nega. The Baal Shem Tov gives a whole slew of examples like this, where according to the keli that you prepare, the letters are coming down. You determine how they're arranged, whether they're arranged for your benefit or has shown the opposite. V'habrocho v'haklolo nase eitzel ha'odom kefi ha'keli sheyesh loy. K'may shekosov re'ei onoichi noisen lifneichem brocho klolo. Lifneichem daiko. When it's in front of you, it's brocho and klolo. Kim lifnei ha'kodesh brochu yoytze oyer poshut. When it goes out of Hashem, it goes out as a pure, simple oyer, without any labels on it. There's no such thing as good and bad. It's just plain oyer. Ulefi ha'odom kein nase hatziruf. The person determines the arrangement of the letters, whether it's nega or oyneg, whether it's tzoyhar or tzoro. Ki lifnei Hashem adayin ein tzir letziruf hazeh. Because when it's by Hashem, there's no structure to it yet. Imhu brocha im lav, whether it's brocha or not. I skipped something? What did I skip? I'm sorry. Im hu adam toiv, if the person is good, naset siruf shel bracha. Vim lav, hepech, and if not, it's the opposite. Vizeh lifnechem bracha uklolo daiko. When it's in front of you, it determines whether it's bracha or klolo. Ki lifnei Hashem adayin ein tzir letziruf hazeh. Because when it's emanating from Hashem, there is no structure. The letters aren't combined. They're coming out as individual letters, in a sense. Im hu brocha im lav. V'zeh shehitmiya etz atzmoi Bilam al zeh. This is what Bilam was surprised at. He was amazed. Hine borech lo kachti uberech v'lo yashivenu. I'm in the process of lekicha. I'm taking the oyer from Hashem, which means it's borech. It's supposed to be in the kamatz mode. Uberech v'lo yashivenu, and I see it's already tzerei v'lo yashivenu, and I can't alter it at all. Why? Because the Jews beat him to the punch. They were ready with their tikkun abris. Their tikkun abris was intact, therefore the klola couldn't happen. Haman made all kinds of achonos. Aseres alofim kikar kesef, the whole bit. The Jews were ahead of him. They prepared their shkolim, the chatzi shekels in advance, and Rabbi Nizal has a few chapters in the Qumran where he shows how tzedakah is an inyan of tikkun abris. Tzedakah is also tikkun abris. So therefore, Haman, with all of his activities, couldn't turn it into klola. He couldn't take, there was anger, there was fire destined to come from Hashem at that time. But some of the mitzvahs that the Yidden did, and the tikkun abris of Esther Hamalka, the fact that Esther Hamalka went into the palace of Ahasuerus, and the Zohar Kodesh says he didn't touch her, he didn't lay a finger on her. Tosfos says in Masechta Megillah that it was a sheda. Because she had reached such a level of purity, every time he wanted to touch her, she was zeicha that there was a substitute that looked like her and everything, but she maintained her purity even in there. In that zechus, Haman couldn't be metzayer the Or L'Ra, he couldn't harm B'nai Yisrael. And in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal gives other examples throughout history of this situation, where the oyer is ready to come from Hashem, the Rosha sometimes tries to be mitzayret lara, if the Jew made the proper preparations, can't. The question is, there's no such thing as a bad gzeira, a bad coming from Hashem. Correct, from Hashem not. And a proof to this, Rabbi Chaim Zal told us a story once about the Mizritcha Magid, if I'm not mistaken, that during his time there was a certain gzeira that was supposed to happen, and it didn't happen. Then the Mizritcha Magid passed away, and his students were still living, and then this gzeira went out in full bloom. And they were suffering tremendously, and they couldn't imagine why their Rebbe in heaven, where he's stronger, isn't doing anything to stop it. So one of the Talmidim decided to go all out. He decided to fast. I think it was fasting for 40 days. Fasting and tefillah and bechiyos to be zoche to see his Rebbe in a dream. He did this, and when he was finally at the end, the Mizritcha Magid came to him in a dream, and he said to the Magid, Rebbe, why aren't you doing anything about this? So he said to him, what should I tell you? Over here, where I am, we see only good. To us, upstairs, it all looks good. It's by you that it's redefined into bad. It's only when we're informed by you that it's bad that we can know. Up here, there's no way to understand bad. There's no concept of bad. Because they're up to that Oyer Poshut. They're in the place that's called Yoyim Shekulay Toiv. Oylam Haba is called the place where there's Kulay Toiv. There's no Toiv Ora there. There's Kulay Toiv. That's where they are. So when we talk about a Gzeira Min HaShamayim, what it means is that we did something to reformat this Oyer Poshut into a Ra when it's reaching us.
Could it also be meant in the sense that they see, say, the total picture of where this Gezerah fits into in Hashem's plan, and therefore it's good, or...
That's another way of saying it. It's another way of saying it. Right. Not that Hashem wanted to send... Hashem is pump, Kaviyochel upstairs, there's a factory. They pump light. They pump letters. Period. That's what they do all day up there. They pump out letters. Oisios. Depending on what's going down here, depending on what's taking place, those letters are either taking the form of Eish or Oyer. That's it. Rabban Zal Satorah later, he talks about Mo'ere Oyer, Mo'ere Eish. It's almost the same thing. Fire and light. Almost the exact same thing. And it's opposite. One is life and one is death. Literally. And it's dependent on our keli. That's the explanation. That's the set of glasses Rabbeinu Zal is giving us with this Torah and Likutei Moran to know how to look at it. And if you see it worded differently in other places, it's simply that they're giving it to you a simpler version of it. Here he's giving you the deeper version. He's telling you what's really taking place. Because there's a Beferish Pasuk in Eicha that says that Hashem can't produce anything bad. There's a pasuk Toiv Hashem Lakoya. What does that mean? That means that Kaviyachol by Hashem there is no ra. Elamai lifneichem bracha uklala. When it's in front of you, there it can take on the form of either bracha or klala. Levai we should be zecha. Levai we should be zecha to know that we're far from Tikkun HaBris, and to know and to believe b'emunah shlema that there is a tzaddik emes, and that there are tzaddikim amitiim in every single generation that do have Tikkun HaBris b'shlemus, b'tachlis ha-shlemus, that were tested and retested and retested and passed. And if we're zoche to attach ourselves to those tzaddikim amitiim, and to learn from them, and to be mishamish them, and to be mevatel our das to them, then there's a possibility of success. There's a possibility of being zoche to succeed in this world. Baruch Hashem.